Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Please stand by.
Please stand by.
There is no beauty, only ugliness. There is no glamour, only ghastly blemish. All romance disfigured. All morals monstrous.
CJLO 1690 AM. Hey there. Hey. It's Easter Sunday, a time for you to sit with your families and eat meat to remind you about a dead god. Is that right? And then that god comes back to life and he's a zombie. Right, no, that's right. Okay, got it. And something about rabbits. Anyway, the point is, this is Grade A Explosives. I'm Andrew, and today I'm not in the studio because I am also consuming the flesh of the innocent. I mean, the flesh of animals. You're crazy, whatever you thought you heard. It's crazy. Anyway, today I figured I would start wrapping up my South by Southwest things. Now, you may have tuned in last week to hear an interview with Drainage and the Munsons, but this week I'm going to focus a bit more on some of the other bands that I've interviewed. Not just me though, also my good pal and co-host for the show for Metal March, Satan, who also chatted with some of these bands. It's going to be a lot of stonery stuff today, so I hope you're okay with that. That's basically what most of the metal at South by Southwest is anyway, so it's not really that shocking. We're not going to talk too much about the madness that is South by Southwest, because this is a jam-packed show, and I've got to get everything in here. Starting off with an interview with a band from Boston, Massachusetts, as if there's another Boston that you care about. They're called Sundrifter. They released an album toward the end of last year called Visitations, and it's pretty good. I'm going to do part one of an interview I did with them, and then that'll put you to commercials, and I'll play a song off that record so you can enjoy it. So keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM, an interview with Sundrifter. Hey everybody, this is Andrew. I am here with fine gentlemen in a band called Sundrifter. I will let them intro themselves because I have gotten in trouble for giving names of people when they use pseudonyms. This is a real thing that has happened many times.
Very interesting.
So I will let them intro themselves and tell you what they do in their band.
Okay. My name is Craig Pura. I am the lead vocalist and rhythm guitar player, or at sometimes lead guitar player, in the band called Sundrifter.
I like how this is going so far. Yeah, I hope they all follow this pattern.
We're off to a good start.
I'm Pat. I play drums.
Paul Goffrin, bass.
That's how you say your last name.
It's all right.
That's Goffrin?
Yeah. Goffrin.
Say it again?
The Celtic GH. Goffrin.
Yeah, I'm learning stuff today. All right, here we go.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Did you not know how to say
No, I've seen it on Facebook like 8,000 times, but I've been too afraid to pronounce it because I was going to get it wrong. And now tonight I know that it's Goffrin. It's like I'm going to go with golfing, but I'm going golfing with Goffrin. That's the only way. And I'm probably still not saying it right. But it's okay. I'm disco dancing now.
Fine. So that's it. We're all learning something.
Here we go. There's rules now.
Go ahead.
Let me start this off by prefacing this by saying, I always assume that every band that talks to me has already done tons of interviews and have gotten a lot of questions. So what's one question you don't want to be asked or are tired of answering? If I have it on this list, I will strike it. You will not have to answer it.
I don't think we have political opinions.
Okay.
Please do not ask me about current political culture.
Okay. Question number 17. All right. Good. Okay. I'll strike that. And that'll be there.
Oh, my God. If Donald Trump was the first question, I'm going to throw you in the street. It's going to be great.
So Donald Trump... No,
yeah.
Wait. Hold on.
Yep. Love it.
So Boston.
Yes.
Boston does not strike me, and perhaps this is just my bias, as a stoner doom town.
Really?
It strikes me as more of, you know, a hardcore town, as it were.
Oh, wow.
Hardcore with the chowder.
All right.
Am I wrong? Have I misjudged the city?
From one of the band members that was into, like, the hardcore scene in Boston, you are pretty on par with that, actually, I would say. I grew up a lot in, like, the hardcore and punk, like, scene growing up, listening to, like, Guns Up, Have Heart, the Hope Conspiracy, things like that, Calling of Arabia, my God. So many great Boston hardcore bands, but there's also, like, once we got older, like, I kind of stopped with the hardcore, got into, like, the stoner doom scene, started, you know, smoking a little bit more weed, but there's a huge abundance of stoner rock bands in Boston. Elder came from Boston. A lot of those dudes are from Boston. I mean, now they're all over the place, but Gozu, really great dudes. Worshipper, they're on tour in Europe right now. We have Summoner. Summoner's a great band.
Oh, Summoner is a great
band. Chris Johnson, he's in Death Heaven now.
So good.
Big time, yeah. There's a lot to offer for Stoner Doom in Boston. We got Aaron Grayskull running the show down in Boston, setting up great shows.
Leather Lung.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, all right. Now I have to change my opinion about Boston.
Hey,
Burnham Wood.
We got both. Hardcore and Stoner Doom.
I'm just going to assume that all the hardcore kids are now just like...
I hope so.
You know, just smoking up, sitting there, doing Doom stuff now. That's my assumption now.
I think 22, 23.
Converge.
Converge. Has Converge made a bad record? I don't think they have.
Definitely. I don't think so.
From Jane Del on, it's just consistently amazing.
Let's not talk about Converge, though. Let's talk about you guys. Let's get focused
here. Let's go.
Okay.
Laser focus.
Laser focus.
Sorry, staying up in New England.
So, Visitation is the new record.
Correct.
How did the writing process for this go? Was it an easy thing for you guys to go and, like, put out? Was it hard for you to write?
That's actually probably, let's go back to that first question where you should probably scratch these questions.
That's a hot topic.
Because we always get asked that question. Like,
really?
What's the writing style? But yeah.
I don't care what the writing style is like. I just want to know if it's difficult or not.
Or difficult.
Well, fine.
I would say...
Fine. It's a prolonged organic process.
Yeah.
There's nothing hard, like, particularly difficult about it. I think we just all bring stuff to the table per song, per section of song, you know, and just vet it with each other until everything works in, like, the 3 to 5 minute context that each song is.
Yeah, it's not too difficult. Like, you know, Craig comes in with the riffs. I kind of write the drum parts. He throws the bass on.
Yep. And we have our own departments. We're generally not trying to get any, you know.
And usually when we seem to have, like, a hard time, like, with a song or a song's, even for, like, one of us, if it's not really, like, really, like, I don't know, like, fitting well with us, we'll kind of just move on, go to the next thing. Usually the best songs are the just songs that just write themselves. They come right together.
Yeah.
I also will say that we have definitely have a best for the team policy with songwriting. We generally like to commit to like what's best for the song, but also with our own individual parts, we generally like to write things that we're happy and excited to play. There have been times where I may not be thrilled 100% all the way with something that's happening, but we were the ones that have to play these songs every night, right? So it's I'm always interested in like what the three of us are excited to play, because that sound is always going to be better than me winning the songwriting battle for that
good
day.
Good rule of thumb.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We have a thing called the reflection pond, and reflection it exists pond. In our minds. It's not an actual pond. So usually, if sometimes we do, we come to a standstill on some parts, and we're like, you know what, we're going to leave the practice room, take some time to reflect on these parts, and sometimes I'll come around to like, I'll start to see things, just let it stew, and I think about it a lot, and things will come together.
We use iPhone recordings a lot, because a lot of times we'll be in there, like, wow, it was great. And then we get home, and I'm listening to something like, oh, I don't know if that's going to make it. And it's just, and vice versa. Like, we'll think something's really bad, but we'll be like, no, actually, we'll take this part from that part and mix it together. You just emotions when you're writing can be high and low. Yeah. This is going to be the greatest song, and then it ends up, not even making it.
Yeah. Craig seems to be like just a songwriting machine. I'll be just sitting at home on a Sunday, and I'll get a text message with a sick riff, And I'm like... All right.
I open up a portal to the Akashic Records, and I summon riffs through my hands. I'm like a shaman.
I mean, that's
like
the best way to do it,
in Africa,
right?
And like there's dancers, and then the songs come through.
If somebody wants to use the band name Riff Shaman, we're not going to take
Riff
it.
Riff Shaman.
That's a great name.
Is Riff Shaman not taken?
I don't think so.
It would be taken.
Riff Shaman.
It sounds like you guys would be on the same label as this.
Yep. Absolutely.
Awesome records.
Small Stone.
Again, we pick them up, Small Stone Scott, if you're listening. Yeah. Riff Shaman.
Riff Shaman.
Sign them.